This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. Lori Gottlieb, a psychotherapist and New York Times bestselling author, found herself in need of therapy after a crisis.
You heard that right. Gottlieb is a psychotherapist. She also writes a weekly advice column for The Atlantic called Dear Therapist. Her new book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, details her experiences with her patients and as a patient herself. Thanks for being with us, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
So in this episode, we're exploring the issue of growing up. But growing into ourselves, who we really are as people, can often take longer than just that physical process of changing from a child to an adult. And for many people, that growth process is assisted by some form of therapy. So who better to talk to than a therapist? But Lori, in your book, you do something interesting. You write not only about the stories from your patients that you treat as a therapist, but also your own journey in therapy as a patient. So why did you decide to do that?
I think there are two main themes in the book, and one is that we grow in connection with others, and the other is that we're more the same than we are different. And so I wanted to bring people back into the therapy room to see the patients that I was working with, because I think they'd identify with their struggles. But I also wanted people to see my humanity, because therapists go to therapy too, and I wanted them to see me as a regular human being and not just as the expert up on high.
Someone who's also growing and figuring things out too.
Exactly.
So one of the things you write about is that our stories form who we are. So why do you think it's important for us to tell our stories to each other?
I think stories have always been the way that we make sense of ourselves in the world and in relation to other people. When people tell you about themselves, they do it in the context of story. He said this, she said this, we did this, and then this happened. And they're telling you something about themselves. And basically they're saying, can you understand? Do you relate to this? And I think that we make sense of ourselves much more through narrative than we do through factual information.
It's sort of a universal human condition that we all just want to be understood, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that it's very hard for people, I think nowadays, to understand people because it's hard to listen. I think we're so distracted by phones and things pinging and beeping that we don't really pay attention. And so a lot of people are really craving that feeling of being understood.
But yet some people don't always reveal their true selves to others in their stories, whether it's oral storytelling each other about themselves or like on social media in this technological new world. So why are people really afraid to reveal their true selves to each other?
Many people think that if they present the pretty version of themselves, that they'll be liked better, that they'll be more respected. And I think that what happens is people are actually hiding the truth of who they are, which is what draws people to them. So in the therapy room, when people don't show me who they are, I have a really hard time connecting with them. But when they tell me these things that they're so afraid of revealing in any other context, I feel very, very interested in them and I like them quite a bit more. So I think there's a lot of shame around our lives because I think that we don't see other people talking about their struggles. And I think that if we were more open about the reality of our lives and how the different facets of our lives, I think people would not feel so much shame about revealing things about themselves.
Well, there is still a stigma about having emotional issues, but as you mentioned in your book, everyone does experience pain. It can be different kinds of pain, but it's all pain. So that stigma kind of figures into telling our stories to each other, and also it gets in the way of figuring out who we are.
It does. And I think a lot of people kind of rank their pain. So I say in the book that there's no hierarchy of pain, that pain is pain. And so a lot of people maybe won't get help because they think, well, you know, I might be anxious or I might be depressed, or they might not even use those words, but something's not right. And they also feel like, but what do I have to complain about? And therapy is not a place to go and complain. It's a place to go and have someone hold up a mirror to you and say, look at what you're doing. Look at the ways that you might be shooting yourself in the foot and ending up in the same place over and over. Here's how you can struggle less.
Well, and because not only are we not always revealing our true selves to others, sometimes we're not revealing our true selves to ourselves.
That's right. I think therapy makes people look at themselves in a way that they normally wouldn't want to because of that shame. But there's nothing shameful about what they find. I think people are often pleasantly surprised, in fact, by what they find.
you tell stories of different patients that sort of illustrate these points. Do you have one that you could share with us?
I think that the patient that I start the book off with is a great example of someone who has a lot of secrets and shame. He comes off as very abrasive. He's kind of insulting to me. He tells me that he came to me because I was a nobody, so he wouldn't run into anyone he knew in the waiting room. He's very unlikable at the beginning. But once I get to know him and once I find out why he's acting the way he is, I realize that he's protecting himself. All of the ways that people are acting, we often personalize, but often it's about something that they're doing to cope or to manage the unspeakable or the unfathomable in their lives. And once he's able to talk about that, whatever his tragedy and his trauma are, and they're significant, I really start to see him grow and change. And he makes changes in his life, in the way that he treats his wife, in the way that he manages his coworkers at work, in the way that he interacts with his children. He really makes significant changes. But I think you have to be able to understand something about yourself to know what you're doing before you can change it. You have to know what the problem is before you can do something different.
Well, that's one thing that really stuck out to me is you write about the difference between insight, knowing what the issues are, versus change. So can you explain that?
We have a saying that insight is the booby prize of therapy. A lot of people think you go to therapy and you gain some insight and there's an aha moment and then you improve. And what happens is the insight is just the beginning. You can have all the insight in the world, but if you don't make changes out in the world, the insight is useless. So you can have a good idea of why you're having problems in your marriage, but if you don't make changes, you're still going to have those problems in your marriage.
Well, because sometimes people aren't willing to do those little steps. They want the big change, but it's those little steps in between that are hard.
And I think it's hard sometimes to see our role in something or to take responsibility for our role in something, because often people come to therapy and they want somebody else to change. And the best way to get somebody else to change is to make changes yourself, because your change will influence the way they react to you, the way they respond to you. So you can't make somebody else change, but your behavior can influence whether somebody else is going to change.
You can only change your own actions, right?
That's right. You can't change somebody else.
You mentioned that therapy can be holding up a mirror, and we started out by talking about story, and I think also it's mentioned that it's really about changing the way patients look at their story, their own narrative. So is that part of growing into yourself, is figuring out what your story really is and how it's best understood?
I think stories evolve over time, and one thing I look at when people come to me is, what is the story that they're telling, and is it an old story? Is it a story that needs revising? People come in with these narratives in their head, like, I'm unlovable, or nothing will ever work out for me, or the problem is everyone else, or whatever their narrative is. And I try to help them look not just at their story, but their flexibility with their story. I'm kind of looking for what I like to call the music under the lyrics. So they'll be talking about something, but I want to know what the struggle underneath the situation is. How did they get into that situation in the first place?
Well, because sometimes people repeat their stories over and over again in different scenarios till they figure it out.
That's true. And I think, too, sometimes people don't realize that they're narrating that story in their head every day. And often people are really unkind to themselves. If people listen to the story that they're telling themselves day in and day out, often it's some version of, oh, you messed up again, or people talk to themselves in such an unkind way, in a way that you would never talk to someone you cared about, a friend or a family member. And I think once people start to hear that the narration in their head is contributing to this story, they start to make changes in their story, and then they start to make changes in their life.
We also start out by talking about sort of these universal human conditions of story and change. What would you say, you know, is that thing that really ties us all together? We all have these issues.
I think no one is immune from struggle. Nobody gets away and gets through life without having some sort of struggle. And struggle looks different in different people. But we all have the same core desires to love and be loved. How do we deal with regret? How do we manage our pain? How do we relate better, not only to other people, but to ourselves? And I think these are all questions that we have. Also, I think a lot of us are kind of aware of our mortality, and especially as we get older and we want to think more intentionally about how are we going to live our lives. These are all concerns that everybody thinks about on some level.
Obviously, in a short radio program and interview, we can't give universal advice to everyone because these processes of becoming your true self is really that a process. But, you know, what is your sort of general advice to people who are struggling to find themselves or figure out what their story is?
I think they should know that their experience isn't unique to them. And that might make it easier for them to reach out and talk to someone, whether that's someone that they trust in their friends or family, or go to a therapist and go talk to somebody about what's going on. It makes it worse if you either minimize your feelings, because if you try to push them down or tamp them down, they actually get bigger, and then you're going to end up in a more difficult situation. And I think the other thing is just to know not to isolate themselves. So many people who come into therapy, whatever they're complaining about, whatever their issue is, underlying that, there seems to be kind of a loneliness because we don't have a lot of face-to-face connection with people in the way that we used to. So make sure you get out. Make sure that you go and you have coffee with a friend face-to-face without your phones on the table. Make sure that you are actually connecting with people in a way that is meaningful.
I think that's so important in this day and age. Psychotherapist and writer Lori Gottlieb is the weekly Dear Therapist columnist for The Atlantic and the author of the book Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Thanks for being with us, Lori.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.